Roger, it is an utter surprise to be here today. An utter surprise. But we trust that you have met the Lord. And what a way to meet him. 30,000 feet in the air. You know, as we heard in the gospel today, the question Thomas asked Jesus, we don't know where you're going, how can we know the way? And Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I think Bishop Morin embraced those words deeply in his life. As his parents, Germain and Lillian, brought him to receive baptism at St. Teresa's Church in Dracut, Massachusetts, and he received First Communion confirmation, and then Archbishop Hannon ordained him there at that church. And then he had the blessing of being able to celebrate Mass at that church before he came back for the blessing of the cemetery. Little did we know, of course, the circumstances. And then he had dinner with his family before he came back to us. There's a number of things I think that come to mind in terms of truth. One of Roger's truths was, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And I can tell you that having shared with him and talked with him as a bishop, that's a hard one. It's a hard one. And we're grateful to the bishops that are here
now
and the archbishops that he cared about so much also. I remember when I first was named bishop, and before I was ordained, I was talking to him about something that had come up. There's always something that comes up. And we were in a pretty serious conversation, and we were walking along on the path, and you know, I'm walking and talking, okay, and I'm into it. And all of a sudden I turn around and there's no Bishop Morin. That's when I realized that he had the Bishop Morin walk. He liked to saunter. He liked to saunter. So I slowed down for him to share his wisdom. As we hear in the gospel, even in that moment, he would say to me, you have faith in God, have faith also in Jesus Christ. Because it's his love that's at the center of who we are as Christians, as followers of Christ, as priests, as ministers, as people of God, and as bishops. I have to imagine that Jesus truly loved Roger for creating such a moment for him of faith and hope and love all throughout his entire life. Being called from Boston area, Massachusetts, to come to New Orleans is really a wow moment, and yet he felt the strong call to come and minister among the people in the South. And his ministry took on an apostle of service, an apostle of social ministry for people. He even got a degree from Tulane as a priest in urban sciences to help the folks, to help the folks. Even now, Second Harvest, which is one of the biggest providers of food and ministry in the New Orleans area and beyond, has his handmarks on it. However, his motto was true for him. Walk humbly, act justly. Most people wouldn't know that he is one of the founders of the Second Harvest and of quite a few ministries in the Archdiocese of New Orleans. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have not told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? All the ministry, all the service, the many, many people that he was able to minister to as a priest, as a layman, as a bishop, to witness to the love of Jesus Christ, I think would be the image we would have of the dwelling place for Roger, the dwelling place for him. And the love of Jesus Christ, of course, very much present. Roger and I talked a number of times about this moment, but in his own way, he did not give me a lot of details. But I know that he felt drawn to Christ, no matter what. And he felt drawn to the love of Christ, no matter what. And he shared that love. For the priests of the diocese, archdiocese of New Orleans that are here, deacons and lay people, for our priests of the diocese of Biloxi, our deacons, our seminarians, all of our religious that are here, the bishops, he had a heart for you. He had a love for you. It wasn't proclaimed in trumpets. He didn't proclaim trumpets most of the time. If he wanted, of course, fried chicken and chocolate, that's a whole different thing. That's a whole different thing. And by the way, the first 20 confirmations I did, I had chocolate and fried chicken. Every single one. And I'm a Southern boy, so. It is Jesus becoming our way, our truth, and our life, that we have entered the different vocations that all of us are living. And in many ways, it is a step in faith. It is a step in hope. And it is very much a step in the love of Jesus Christ. I can imagine Roger at 30,000 feet and realizing that truly he was in the hands of God. In the hands of God. And we forget that, but that's where we are, all of us, in the hands of God. And letting God's love truly draw him into that wedding banquet is what we all long for in the end, what we celebrate here in the Eucharist. And it was the Eucharist that he loved so deeply, Jesus' body and blood, and celebrating Mass. And we have on his coffin his chalice that he used for so many, many years. For us priests, the chalice truly becomes a sign of our relationship with Jesus Christ and his love, especially as we drink his blood and eat his body. A moment to be filled with his love. And that's what happened for Roger. During this Eucharist, we pray in a special way that we who have lost family, of course, Paul and Elaine and Ray and Susan and Pat and all of the nieces and nephews and family members and those that have lost a friend, those of us that have lost our Bishop Emeritus, we lift him up in love. We lift him up praying for the peace of Christ to truly touch our hearts and to fill us with the love of Jesus Christ that touched the life of Bishop Roger Moore. As we celebrate this Eucharist, as we receive the body and blood of Christ, let's offer our prayers for him and lift our prayers up that he may share in the peace of Christ forever, in the banquet of the Lord forever, in the wedding feast that is heaven.
Amen.